I want to thank Stevie and the Faculty Council for inviting me to talk to you today. It's an honor to participate in Faculty Day. It's special, too, to share the podium with my esteemed colleagues, Dragana and Kim. To be honest, I'd rather talk about astrology than talk about myself. My first reaction to being asked to talk about my life as a diploma holder was that there's really not much to tell. But I do have a bit of a story to share with you. I would like to dedicate this talk to all the students who toil in relative solitude, because that's my story too, both past and present. Every time I come to the UK to reconnect with my colleagues for Faculty Day in our biennial tutor meeting, I'm always impressed and envious by how many superb astrology resources there are around here. I live in Canada, which for its vast size has very few astrology resources by comparison. So I miss the sense of community that Britons get to enjoy. But on the plus side, I don't have much competition for my services either. So where I live, if someone wants to consult an astrologer, they usually come to me. I gained my diploma in March 2004, along with the Margaret Hone Award for the best advanced exam that year. I mention that not to boast, but because that was the second and last time in my life when my grasp exceeded my reach. When I got the news that I had finally graduated, I was a hero around the house for about a day. And then it was back to the daily grind and, even more importantly, the task of sussing out a new goal in my life. Maybe some of our new diploma recipients are pondering a similar challenge. I couldn't attend Faculty Day that year to collect my diploma, so when it finally arrived in the mail, I took it to a local gallery for framing. The framer took a hard look at it and said he'd never seen one before. That didn't surprise me, because I believe fewer than 500 diplomas have ever been conferred. So the new diploma holders today are joining an exclusive guild, but membership is wide open to anyone who is willing and able to see their faculty studies through to the end. My diploma is number 422. The framer asked me what my diploma entitled me to do, and that got me thinking about my future. Business as a consultant was slow, so I thought maybe I could teach. I didn't have any formal teaching experience, but I thought how great it would be if I could pass on the same wonderful experience I had as a faculty student to students of my own. I noticed at that time that the faculty didn't have any male tutors. So I contacted Diane Marcus Page, who was head tutor at that time, and asked if the faculty could use my services. I was offered a contract in June 2004, and I've been here ever since. I suppose you could say my hire was a case of affirmative action in reverse. It's not an easy job, but I enjoy the challenge of being a distance tutor. I still toil in solitude so far away from the central operations here in London, but it's a privilege to be part of the faculty team and help groom the next wave of brilliant astrologers. I think a lot of students have an impression of the faculty that it's this powerful and authoritative citadel of higher education, and it is, in a way that reflects its imperial Saturn-Pluto conjunction in Leo in the ninth house. After all, many of the greatest contemporary astrologers have passed through its doors in the last 68 years. Some of those luminaries are in the audience today. So imagine my surprise when I came to England for my first tutor meeting and saw that the faculty was in reality just a small group of remarkable, tireless women who were shouldering this massive responsibility to elevate the standard of astrological education worldwide. It's still mostly like that today. How could I not want to add my efforts to theirs? I enrolled as a faculty student in September 1993 as progressed Sun squared natal Pluto in my chart. I felt like I was shedding an old skin, actively searching for a way to repurpose my engagement with astrology. Like a lot of new enrollments, I had gone as far with it as I possibly could on my own. I had become so frustrated at my inability to put it all together that I actually shelved astrology as a personal project for a couple of years before I took the plunge and committed myself to formal study. In the beginning, the diploma wasn't really my goal. Of course, I thought it would be cool to have it, but the possibility seemed remote. I really only had one overarching goal, which is still my goal today. All I've ever wanted was to have the scales drop from my eyes and be able to read charts. That's it. And it's been a wonderful goal because by pursuing it, I've had so much fun and met many interesting people. Maybe some of you are thinking that's well and fine, but can I make a living out of it? I stand before you today as maybe the least commercially minded astrologer you'll ever meet. So the honest answer for me anyway is no. I've never been able to support myself solely from practicing astrology. Please don't let anybody feel discouraged by that. I haven't tried very hard either. I live in a tiny rural community in Ontario that's situated close to Kingston, which isn't a big place either, but it has a major university called Queen's, which has a great reputation for its business and applied sciences programs. My community is very Christian and conservative, so the services of an astrologer are not often sought. Most of the work I get as a consultant is with students and teachers from the university, and by word of mouth from satisfied customers. I've been posting a flyer in the main library at Queen's for many years. That's all the advertising I do. I go through periods when I back off consultancy work. I get worsted sometimes with the secrets and confessions entrusted to me. But I've been able to secure quite a lot of ongoing client work over the years, precisely because I can keep a confidence. In fact, I won't even acknowledge that someone is my client, let alone what they talk about with me. You will never see the chart of one of my clients as a case study for a faculty exam. I don't consult over the phone or Skype because I prefer FaceTime to Facebook, so I don't have the volume of work that might otherwise be available to me, but that's been my choice. My faculty wages are generous, but they're not enough to support my family either. I think the best way I could describe the economics of my career is I don't live on my astrology wages, but I live better on my astrology wages, and I'm very content with that. In 1999, the faculty ceased offering exams right when I was in the middle of them. There were lots of diploma exams back then. The faculty was in serious trouble at the time, which I didn't know anything about until much later. And I was very concerned because I had been on a bit of a roll with the papers up to then. I had written the diploma calculations exam the previous year and was presented with the Thomas MacArthur Award for that, which I'm very proud of. Now I was facing the prospect that after all the time and money I invested, I might not even get the chance to finish my exams. A year doesn't sound like much, but you have to remember that exams were only offered once a year in those days. So even if the faculty resumed the exams the next year, which they did, that was still a two-year gap I had to contend with. I tried to make the most of my unexpected free time by exploring different avenues to develop my career. I moderated a thriving internet astrology discussion group called Astrology List. It was a Yahoo group. I did that for the entire two-year hiatus. That turned out to be pretty good training for being a tutor, because I was obligated to actually read what people wrote. Cultivate a smidge of diplomacy, and learn how to type reasonably fast. Later on, I struck up a virtual friendship with an astrologer from Sydney, Australia, named Yasmin Boland. She invited me to collaborate on a series of sun sign astrology books that apparently did really well where they were marketed. I mostly assumed an editor's role and was well paid for that. It was a good experience, but it convinced me that sun sign astrology is not for me. That being said, there's no doubt in my mind that's where the really big money is in astrology. I also began to try my hand at writing and managed to get some articles published in the AA Journal and the now defunct American magazine Considerations. Mundane astrology has always held a lot of interest for me, so many of my early articles were deconstructions of disasters. It's not a morbid fascination. I'm trying to develop predictive aphorisms for making prospective forecasts. I'm inspired by Charles Harvey's vision of an astrology watch warning system, which would link mundane astrologers all over the world, each watching for the buildup of celestial tensions in their own particular locality. Naturally, I do a lot of writing as a distance tutor as well. I think of myself in a creative sense as a writer by default. Since I have this outlet for writing as a tutor, my output of astrology I do just for myself has diminished somewhat in recent years. I have several ideas for a book as a legacy project, but the success of my students is a legacy that means just as much to me right now. I wasn't always interested in astrology. I wasn't disinterested in anything, but astrology growing up never even crossed my mind. Astrology wandered into my life in 1977. I think every good story begins in one of two ways. It's either it was a dark and stormy night, or it begins with, I met a girl. I met a girl. We got to talking, and I liked her right away, and I wanted to date her. And I thought she liked me too, but she said she couldn't go out with me. And when I asked why, she said it was because I was an Aries and she was a Cancer, so things between us would never work out. I didn't know what she meant by that. And when she explained that it meant we were incompatible because I was born in April and she was born in July, I just couldn't believe it. You might find this hard to believe, but I've been shot down by women before, but never ever because of my date of birth. I was determined to prove her wrong, so I went to the local library to read up on this astrology business and show her that it was all nonsense. They only had one astrology book, The Complete Astrological Writings by Aleister Crowley, coincidentally, and of all people. So I borrowed it. I struggled with the Victorian prose, but I thought the way he used astrology to skewer the rich and famous of his era was hilarious. I didn't know anything about astrology, but I didn't have to know anything to know that Crowley did not practice astrology ethically. But it was so interesting that I went searching for more books. It was more than just interesting to me. I had this instant foreshadowing sense of familiarity about astrology that drew me into the journey I'm still on today. In the end, the girl I was chasing was both impressed and amused by my perseverance and relented to go out with me. We're going to celebrate our 35th wedding anniversary. After all these years, all I can say is that she was probably right all along about it. But even so, getting Kristen to marry me was the first time my grasp exceeded my reach. Thank you, everyone.
My mum was a Cancer, and it wasn't great, so I'm delighted to hear that 35 years ago. Yeah, life as a diploma holder, otherwise known as life, right? To be candid, I'm really not sure that anything I can say about my own experience is going to be the slightest use to anyone. Nietzsche wrote, "You have your way, I have my way, As for the right way, the correct way, and the only way, it does not exist. Let Nietzsche teach her. So what can I tell you? It was 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago. My memory really isn't what it used to be. But if I try and think back to passing my diploma, first thing I remember is one entire day face down, crying on the bed when I should have been doing the sinistry. And the second thing I remember is not believing I'd passed it, you know, when the results came. Yeah. I can't remember what number I was. My brain says 348, I think, but that's probably a lie. And yeah, as Martin told you, there are still fewer than 500 diploma holders worldwide. So if you're studying and you're on your way to getting your diploma, you're going to be part of what is still a very rare group. And if you've passed, look at you, amazing, amazing work, really. You know, everyone else in the room knows what a real achievement it is. As for the other 7.4 billion people in the world, don't expect them to understand it any time soon. There'll be our little secrets. I am definitely very lucky as an astrologer. I wouldn't be practicing at all if it wasn't for a series of chance encounters which sort of culminated in ending up sitting next to Sue Tompkins one night in a writing class, and it was, you know, I was ready. And we had to introduce the people sitting next to us, as you do, or as you used to do in adult ed classes. And she turned to me, and I turned to her, and she told me very quietly that she was an astrologer. And I became overwhelmed with excitement, and she had to kind of and if it hadn't been for me being her neighbour and talking to her, she'd just finished writing Aspects at that point, then I would never have discovered that she was an astrologer, because she was adamant she didn't want anyone in the room to know. And anyway, and I ended up going to the beginners class that she was teaching later that week or the following week, and you know, that was that. It was also thanks to Sue, really, that I began to teach. She encouraged me, and she was looking after the programme of London classes, and she had her own adult ed classes ongoing, and so I learnt in baby steps in the adult ed classes, and in time I did a tiny bit of certificate teaching, and so it went. And then I was really lucky in that Jan, who was teaching the daytime certificate group, which, you know, only, I don't know how long it lasts, but there used to be daytime classes that you could do in the week, ongoing ones, and she was bowing out of that. So I was allowed as a novice diploma holder to step into her shoes. And that was Thursday mornings in Baden-Powell House, down in Kensington Gore, is it? House Honour, yes. And there's that whole thing, you know, it's a blessing, really, when you totally don't have a clue about how much you don't know. And, you know, when I was doing my beginner's classes with Sue, I think I started, well, I attempted to look at people's charts after the first week, after my first week of a first beginner's class, you know. Right off the bat, I just wanted to talk to people about their charts. So I was really happy if anybody would allow me to look at a chart and talk to them about it. You know? And I would say, you know, all of this stuff that you don't know in the beginning, it is merciful that you don't know what you don't know. But there's this sort of balance between being quite insecure and then also being unaware of the true depth of your own ignorance, you know, which is a mercy. In the beginning, when I was a teacher, I found it really hard to say I don't know. I'm really good at saying I don't know these days. You know? It gets easier once you've had more practice to be able to sit with what you don't know. I think in the beginning, it's too de-skilling to feel that you can say out loud, I don't know. But anyway, as an apprentice astrologer, you know, I didn't charge a bean, obviously, to talk charts to people for years and years. And then when I did begin to charge, I went in at a whole £5, you know, and that would be maybe 7 or 8 hours preparing inches of notes, and then hours and hours with them, terrible time boundaries, you know, too interesting, too much to talk about, too much. And I can still get really interested in people's lives in sort of forensic detail, you know. And time boundaries is something else that you learn, you know. And it takes a while, like anything. But I would say my apprenticeship was invaluable. I felt a lot more kind of loaded and a bit more fearful after I got my diploma, because then it was like the responsibility, you know. And I still, in the early days, definitely spent too long with people, you know, more than 2 hours. And I still over-prepared, which I still do sometimes, and I still undercharge, and I still do that sometimes. And some things don't change that much, you know, and that's all right for me anyway. But it takes a long time to get good at what you do, and that goes for any discipline. Countless hours that run into days and weeks and months. And so if you don't get on and just do it, you know, you'll never give yourself a chance to become as good as you might be. So I would say start before you're ready, you know. I think that's reasonable advice for almost any endeavour. My working practices suit me, and I'm sure they're no use at all to anybody else. I don't advertise. I don't have a separate place where I work. I don't have a leaflet or a website or a sun sign column or any of it. I never have, and I don't want. In the beginning, I used to work on Saturdays and weekends, obviously, because I was working during the week. But now I don't see anyone except daytimes, weekdays. And believe you me, there is no steady stream of people banging on my door, you know. There are professionals out there, good people, who might see 4 clients in a morning. You know? That's fine, if that's what they want. I think my ideal would be 2.5 clients a week. So if you know any half people, just to me. I still allot about 2 hours for prep time, but now that includes the tidying up and the getting dressed and being presentable. And I can still spend up to 2 hours with a client. So we're talking about 4 hours, you know, for any scheduled client. And maybe I've printed a bit of stuff out before, and maybe I've got absorbed in the chart beforehand, but actually most of the time I like to work immediately before the person comes. I like to be immersed in the chart and then to meet them immediately afterwards. And of course I love my teaching, you know. I can't even imagine my astrological life without my teaching. I love beginners classes. I love that whole getting people when they're fresh, you know. And maybe it's because I'm more cardinal than anything else. The start of things is exciting to me. But it's, you know, it's amazing to work with people way further down the road and to just be alive to how much astrology enriches people's lives, you know, and how much they can. I mean, essentially, the big secret of being an astrology teacher is you learn more from teaching than you will learn any other way, you know? And I still have other jobs apart from astrology, and I wouldn't survive otherwise, even with the teaching. And as the saying goes, don't make much of a living, but I make a hell of a life. I love hearing about people's lives. I love the intensity of one-to-one work. And I love the way that astrology encourages you to give of your best intelligence, give of your best compassion, and your best creative searching, you know, to try and illuminate what you're talking about here. I love the way that it allows you to be really enthusiastic about people's lives. I love the way that it allows you to listen to them, to meet them, and to hold them and be with them at that point in a way that they might not experience any other way. I love the way that it gives us a flexible and creative framework within which we can find ourselves and through which we can grow and stretch. I don't see it as a job. It is, at the risk of, you know, eye rolling, it's soul work. And it's a vocation, it's a calling, it's an art. Sometimes the call is a lot quieter, and sometimes it's louder. Astrology is a living thing, and all living things go through rough patches, all living things falter and fail sometimes. And that's okay. My periods of doubt are a lot less frequent now, and they're probably a bit less painful. I've got better at trusting and relaxing a little bit, and I've certainly got used to the idea that astrology will hold me. I care a little bit less what other people think of me, and I'm more comfortable with my own way of doing things. Occasionally still get that everybody else does it properly and I'm some kind of fraud, you know, feeling that I think a lot of people get in a lot of different situations, but it doesn't last, you know, it's not a big deal. So it doesn't really matter what somebody else says, just be the kind of astrologer you are or want to be. Be your own astrological self, because as we know, everyone else is already taken.